Podcast Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to audiochat.thegologist.com. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow thegologists around the globe. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. To listen to the live stream, go to s3.fakeologist.com. Now, on with the audio chat.
Please hold while I try to locate the person you are calling.
Good morning again.
Might I just say, John J. Singleton rocks. That man is one smart cookie, and I am so happy that we found that guy. What a wealth of knowledge. What a wealth
of knowledge. I put up your thing on fakeologist.com/blog. I know you don't go there. I titled it Awesome Odd by Odd. A-W-E-D by Odd. Odd by Odd. That was your penultimate interview. That's your new gold standard. That was
Wow. Fantastic.
You were doing amazing work drawing out the information. If I was on the call, I would have just got in your way. That's how good it was. And
wow,
I was making notes. Yeah, I always say to my children, if you do better than me in this life, I will be happy. Because we have to think like the Rockefellers and the Carnegies. They did not
right.
tear each other down. They built each other up. Even if they probably hated each other, they work together because the only way to get ahead in this world, you have to step on my shoulders to go higher. What is the point in you starting from the ground every single time? I think it's crazy. So,
no,
as my pod child, I hope you soar higher than I could have dreamed. So yeah, I take great solace in your success.
Well, with my astonishing, 600 subscribers, we'll hold the high praise later, but
Worry about the numbers. Don't fixate on that. Hey, listen, can you hold your thought for 2 minutes? I just have to get out for one more thing and then I'll have an hour.
It would be my pleasure.
Just hold on 1 second.
All right, everyone, while we wait for Papa Ab, last night I interviewed John J. Singleton, and if you're not aware of this guy, just invest. And I'm not even, if you look at my show notes, I say it, don't be one of those guys or gals that, listens in for 3 minutes and thinks you got it, because that dude unleashed so much information that I didn't have a clue, nor will you. I guarantee you, I give you that commitment. And as I say in the show notes, if you don't learn 5 new things, I will refund personally your price of admission for that call. And we know what a high price ticket it is, but that's my commitment to you, Uncle Odd to you. But no, seriously, guys, it was just freaking amazing. Excuse me, I'm going to put you on mute while I cough because maybe the corona's getting me. Man, hold on. Defeated some of the boogie virus in me. I just hacked that shit up. But anyway, this guy, I didn't even know who the guy was before yesterday morning. And then I had my event at Sprouts that happened, and I recorded, and during that I said, does anybody have a direct line into Peggy Hall? And then I had a good gentleman, Eric, in Proton, that we're doing a different project together. He sent me an interview with John and Peggy. And then, what do you know? I was able to find, Eric also gave me his Proton email address, and I was able to reach out to him. I just asked, here comes Ab, I'll finish it in a second. So,
all right, I'm back.
No problem, I'm just finishing. While you were, instead of dead air, I was sharing people, just hang in there one second, Ab. Let me finish.
All right.
Eric got me his email address, and I sent him an email, and the guy was, like, within 5 minutes, he responded back. And within 2 minutes of that, I was on the phone with him and chatting, and we were chatting about Sprouts, because this guy is in the process of helping other clients sue them. And he has all of the templates and everything. And so he's like, can you imagine how strange this is for me to hear? He said, oh, yeah, I'll write your lawsuit for you. He said, not a problem. I'll do it for free. Like, what? Who are you? And who stole the greedy people? I said, hey, man, you know what? Instead of having this long conversation, now just my cell phone to yours, would you be open to getting on a Zoom call and let's just chat? I'd love to know more about you and talk to you. So that's how it all started. And then I'm going to let Ab tell you what he thought of the interview instead of me talking about it because, you know, I was too busy talking. So, Ab, your thoughts.
I was just chewing my chicken sandwich. I didn't know how long you were going on, but, yeah. let me swallow.
You know me. I can go on further if you need to down that sandwich.
No, I'll pause it. Yeah, that was your gold standard. That was your top interview, bar none, no doubt. The questions, the revelations, the nuggets that you got out of him were fantastic. I learned a lot. You never know where a guest is going to go. You never know what he knows and what he's researched. You can only just try. And I don't really know him. And again, we go back to there's so many hours in the day where to discover new people is not easy. But that's what I love. It, like you said, it's like reaching down into the cereal box and grabbing a prize. Now, almost always the prizes were garbage, but sometimes there was something really fun, but it was just the anticipation. And that's what I love about meeting, doing these kind of shows, because you, every now and then you meet just an eagle. And another marketing guy I used to work with 30 years ago said there's two kinds of people in this world, eagles and ducks. I'm pretty sure I got the birds right.
I've never heard that.
Now, obviously eagles, they fly high, they usually fly solo, and they soar to great heights, where a duck basically just floats along, he finds another duck, and then they float behind each other, and then they just basically follow each other around in circles down on the pond and really don't go anywhere in life. So
right.
Most people are ducks. I don't like to call them sheep because I don't know a lot about the animal behavior of sheep, but I know what ducks do because I've watched them.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
Obviously you're an eagle. John is an eagle. They're just really fun people to watch and to listen to and learn from. So he was fantastic. And I don't know if you asked him what his formal training was, if any, but it seems like just doing a quick research, he's not a lawyer, he's not an accountant, he's just someone who can read and use his brain and try and put different skill sets that he learned on his own together and make a business. And really it's just about navigating this corporate world that we're in that most of us don't even know we are in a corporate world.
Right.
But the people that do know are always taking advantage of it and literally just leading us around by the noses, and we don't have any way to fight back because we just think that's just the way the world is. The world just is the way it is. But really, of course, it's carefully constructed, and the people that constructed it and passed that knowledge down to their ancestors that are still running this place, they know all the ins and outs of it, and everything they do to us is with our consent, even if we have no idea that we're consenting to it.
Right.
And that's really what I learned from him. So if you can find somebody who can give you the keys to so many doors that you didn't even know were holding you in, then I think the controllers will let you navigate because, okay, you're an insider now, you know what you're doing, and we're not going to change the entire rules of the world because that would be way too impractical. So if you're one of these people that got out of your cage, we're going to let you, I guess to an extent, be out of your cage and just get away from the dirty, nasty stuff that we're doing just because you made it, because you got enough brain power. And, God, I wouldn't be surprised if they compromise and try and sign you up once you're out of the cage and ask you to help manage the cage. But that's how I see him.
Right, right. Well, he did mention that he has been party to 30,000 cases. So I don't know what that, whether that's a letter or, but the guy knows his shit. That was just painfully obvious, but good. No, that was a real pleasure. And you know what? The thing that I really, really like, admire about him is there are certain people who have an energy. They have an energy to where when they enter a room, they provide energy or they suck it out. And he's one that just even through the Zoom call, you can see his smile, his demeanor, he has.
Yeah, I wasn't watching I was driving for most of it and I didn't see his face as much. But
yeah.
As I've told you many times, one of the benefits of listening is I'm not distracted by the visual because
sure.
Our number one sense is visual, and it takes over all our inputs. So when I listen, I hear things I never would have heard had I watched it because
that's
I would be
true.
Too distracted by studying the face, trying to get cues and clues. It's kind of if there's any positivity about the mask world, which there isn't, I don't bother looking at your face anymore because if it's completely covered, I can't get any cues from you as to what
right.
you're saying, how you're saying it, what your intention is. So I don't even look at people anymore because it bothers me to an extent, and I can't get any information from your stupid mask now. And, of course, that is one of the anti-human goals of this PSYOP, and it's working brilliantly.
Do you remember?
Yeah.
Go ahead and finish your thought. I can come back to this.
Well, there's so many points. If you look in the comments section of your video, because I'm driving, all I've done, after I hear a great point that he brought up and that you brought out of him, I'll put
yeah,
a timestamp of approximately where I heard something, and I don't
right.
have time as I'm driving to write down what it is, so it's going to force me to go back to that timestamp and try and remember what I was thinking. But one of the questions you've asked, and you've never really got a good answer from anybody, even he didn't really get it, but it occurred to me as he was saying, why do people get sick when others are getting sick around them? Why does a
right.
group all of a sudden get sick if there's no contagion that is transmissible?
Yeah,
and, of course,
yeah.
that is the key to this PSYOP. And no one is really giving you a good answer. And I thought even John kind of sidestepped it a little.
Yeah, the force field didn't quite.
Yeah, I'm not really in the force field. I'm not in the force field, but.
Yeah, you say that. And that was when I woke up this morning and I was just, with myself for a little bit. I was thinking, to me, that felt like a little bit of word jujitsu because it's like we're kind of doing what they do, to where you're giving authority to some kind of in the germ theory, an invisible boogie virus. Whereas in the train theory, to me, there's the environment, and there may be something that you've come across or whatever or over the years, maybe your body develops these toxins and it's just seasonal to where it's just your time. That resonates. But when I think about a force field, I can't quite get there, but I don't dismiss it entirely.
Well, I want to make it simpler because this is my theory. This is the app theory. And I think I'm fully qualified because I've been on this realm for about 53 years. So I think, and of course, I've been researching this since 2012. So I've got 8 years of PhD in studying psyops and fakery. There's no university that would accredit me, but I'm happy that they won't because I don't think they have my life path or my knowledge that I've garnered. But
agreed.
I do know that I have senses. We have six senses, maybe seven. We got eyes, we got nose, we've got taste, we've got hearing, we've got tactile, and we've got touch. We have the sense of balance, which he was testing you on, that is integrated with our other senses. So when we see or are around someone who's experiencing illness or whose body is out of balance, and I don't want to say they caught a sickness. I'm never going to try. I'm going to always try and avoid saying you caught something. But if their body is showing signs of illness or out of balance, as it were,
yes,
then we are using all our senses to notice that. So, of course, we can see they're not well. You walk up to someone right away and say, you don't look well. I see your eyes are kind of wincing. I can see some tension in your face. So that's our number one sense. And if you're blind, of course, you can't see that, but you use your other senses. They're magnified by high order to compensate. So then we have the sense of smell, because if someone smells bad, or we can sense that too. It's not a great sense on human beings compared to, say, a dog. But we can smell people and say, something's off here. If nothing else, you haven't used your deodorant. But other than that, we can smell. We can smell a baby as if they've gone in their pants kind of thing. So we can sense that way. We can touch somebody. We can hold their hands. And, oh, my God, you're freezing. Yeah, are you okay? Obviously, you're not dressed properly, but we've got the sense of smell. And then, of course, we can hear them. Oh, you're breathing. It sounds so labored. Are you okay? So we have all our senses. That is our perception, our ability. So if I perceive you to be sick, then I think that sends a signal to my body saying, hey, listen, we have a sick guy here. We need to be on high alert. So our body needs to sympathize just through the basic brain, our brain processing all those senses, and say, we need to go on high alert here, because if this person is ill, they might be in an environment that might be of danger to us. So not that we can catch anything, because if you could always catch something from people, nurses would always be sick in the hospital. And that's another thing I always wondered. Why are so many nurses able to work, say, a week or two in a hospital and not get sick? Well, because you can't usually catch anything from the people that you're administering to, unless, of course, and a nurse has a unique defense mechanism, I guess, with their perception saying, I'm just used to being around sick people, so my body is not going to go into a sympathetic mode and maybe increase my temperature or do things that make us appear or feel sick. So I just think it's as simple as being sympathetic. Okay, we're in this, I'm with my wife all the time, for instance, and now my body is going into sympathy with hers because she's showing signs of sickness. So I think that is really what he's trying to maybe say is a force field. And on top of that, of course, if we're in the same environment, in the same air, breathing the same air, eating the same similar foods, drinking the same water, feeling the same stresses, especially if you're married, then of course our body could reflect and do similar things to them. And that's what we call, I caught it from you. So that's my best explanation as to what this magical force field. It's not magic. It's just our normal perception as to, and our body is resonating in sympathy based on its own defense mechanism, saying we better do a few defensive things here right now because there seems to be illness or danger or this other person is appearing now or is manifesting that way. So there you go. There's my theory, the AB theory of illness.
So that, to me, maybe. To me, it kind of fails in that, you know, I'm thinking about my daughter right now. She is very sick. And my wife, after the interview, came up to me last night. And I was in a good mood because I thought it was just a great interview. And I could tell by her energy that she was not. And she's never not.
All right.
She is always just such a wonderful person, you know, 99.9% of the time. So I knew something was wrong. And my daughter, Vlada, she's sick. And Yana's very worried about her and wondering if she needs to take her into the freaking hospital today because her chest is so bad. Her chest is so bad. And she cannot smell. She cannot taste. She's just absolutely miserable. So, you know, our little girl's really, really sick. So Mama Bear comes out. Mama Bear comes out, and she's like, almost kind of looks at me, and I'm being facetious here, but almost looks at me like I'm the enemy because I don't believe in this boogie virus. And she's like, fuck, you know, our daughter right here has all these symptoms. She's sick. We may have to take her to the hospital. So, you know, maybe you should be open to it. And I didn't want to get into it, you know, and I didn't. And I'm just like, so I think about that and I think, okay, well, how did Vlada get it? She wasn't going out and about spending lots of time with her friends being sympathetic, you know? So the force field theory would work better because maybe she did, was in proximity with somebody and didn't necessarily know it. Or it could just be that our bodies go through these cycles on an annual basis, and sometimes we develop toxins over years. Like, I haven't, knock on wood, where's the wood? I haven't been sick for probably a good, well, I don't know if I was sick last year. I was sick the year prior, but, you know, have been healthy as a horse since. Now I'm working out a lot more, and I'm exercising, and I'm treating my body well, and I don't drink alcohol anymore.
You're not drinking.
So that's a big win. So maybe I get through this, but maybe I am eating more like shit lately. So who knows? Maybe I'm developing some different.
You're eating sprout cookies, and any cookie that is bought off a shelf has certain things in it to keep it on the shelf, unless it's completely natural. But
I know. But
when I saw that video, I thought, okay, go ahead. When I saw that video, I said to myself, why don't you make your own cookies? It's not that hard.
Well, what did I say at the beginning of the interview? What did I say at the beginning of the interview? Some people run from conflict. Others sprint towards it. You know me. I was feeling ornery, and I was just like, I'm going to go get some damn cookies. I was just in that mood. Because I anticipated it would be conflict, and I wanted to go prepared.
Good show material. You were thinking of the show.
I was thinking of the show. I was thinking not the show. I was thinking of solution. I'm thinking, okay, what? Because we're working on these NOLs and everything. So it's just like You don't get into the ring at an MMA bout without prep, right? Without going through some sparring and shit like that. So I just want to get smarter and better at this stuff. And then providentially, you know, let us to John Jay. So I'm thinking about...
Back to Yana and my daughter. Are we going to diagnose her? What has she been eating? Because, listen... There's no doubt she's under high stress going back to school and dealing with, now she's got you pulling one way, She's got all her friends yanking on her going the other way. I just posted a... Oh, I haven't posted it yet. My daughter's going to university remotely, as you know.
Yeah.
And I just... We subscribe to the university's Instagram, their Twitter, all their social media.
Mm-hmm.
And I just... My wife just showed me an absolutely disgusting piece of propaganda created allegedly by the students where they're masked all the way up and they are shaming people who socialize, who don't mask up. I'm so depressed by watching it. I thought, you know, I'm glad you're at home, and if I have my way, I don't think you're going there ever, because if this is never going to end, I'm glad you're not one of the unlucky people that got into residence, even though she did get into residence. I don't know which children are on residence now. It's not very many. I don't know how they got in, and mine did not. Well, mine was supposed to go to England, but that's another story. But, I got to show it to you. And if it doesn't just depress the hell out of you, then I'd be surprised. You got to watch it. So I'll send it to you when I post it.
Well, I am right for your listening pleasure. As you said that, I'm like, remember when John referenced that woman last night that talked about weaponizing technology to dehumanize humans? And this Eric guy.
Shoshana Zubar? I was just listening to her.
Yeah. Well, I just sent you.
I was just listening to that show.
I just sent you a link, and I don't know if it's the same show. Is it the one where she's given a lecture up front?
Well, I'm not watching it. I'm listening to it. It's just it's the Vice show that has a million views from 9 months ago. It's whatever the top search result is. Whatever the top search result is for Shoshana Zubar.
No, this is from Helen of Destroy. Maybe it's not the same way. Semis, is that her name?
Okay, I'll watch it.
Anyway, I went to bed with it last night, and then I got up this morning, and that's what because I fell asleep halfway through, I listened to the rest of it. Jeez. I mean, it is, you talk about her being over the target. That's going to be one, I'm going to do a video on it and post it, but that's going to be one you're going to want to, you know, post in your audio chats too. Or whatever you do on Fakeology, you're going to want to, because she is, I mean, and it's relevant. It's like she's had this presentation within the last year. But oh my gosh, you talk about your daughter's school and just that orchestration. It's like these fucks are so on purpose with intent can you imagine? Can you imagine for just one frickin' second if these people actually used their forces for good instead of evil?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it's just like, why does it have to be so damned evil, their intent and their execution? And
so organized, Joe.
It's organized, and it just makes me think. You said it earlier. You said the only thing that counts is your health. So that's a number one, right? So we all need to make sure that we're healthy, because if you don't have that, none of this other shit matters. But then, you know, a strong number two is how can you operate in this society without the boot on your neck? How can you be free? I mean, and then it kind of goes back to the founding of America, alleged founding. I don't know. Maybe that's all bullshit too, but it's like people left to become free of tyranny. So it's like, I don't know if it's just this natural cycle that happens in this evil world, you know, the tyrannical cycle. But, man, they have made their move in 2020, and they're not going to take their foot off the gas. And
I know.
You know, and if not anything else, you know what discussions like this have? At least there are other people out there who we can talk to. That's a thank God, I think, because Otherwise, yeah. I think we would all walk around so damn confused all the time, just looking at our own operating reality and just not getting it. And that's maybe what 99... Yeah.
The technology is a double-edged sword. And technology has gotten to the point where we have these slave tracking devices that work very reliably, very well, and we willingly carry them around. They're supercomputers compared to 25, 30 years ago.
Yeah.
And they've enabled all the evildoers to be able to do all the things they want to control us. So the question is, will technocracy have us locked down before everyone or enough people wake up to what's happening? Which will win the race? Because you need the technology. They need the technology as much as we do. So if we choose to use this double-edged sword to our advantage, we can win. But if they use the technology and they can't really limit it too much because they need it just as much as we do to win, if they have us get us locked down and lose enough and give up, well, not lose, if we give up enough so we cannot in the future fight back, then they win. So that's the race. Who's going to win? I don't know. Right now they're winning because the problem is most people don't even know they're in a war right now. They're in the middle of a war. They don't even know it because they don't see the enemy. The enemy is the boogie virus. They don't see the entire infrastructure that you guys on last night's show exposed, a lot of it, the Masonic grandmasters that are running the world, because they have an infrastructure that's been around for 300 years. It did not go away. They're not just playing tiddlywinks at the lodge on the higher level. So
that was such a
structured. Yeah.
That was such a fascinating part of the interview, and that's one thing that it's like, you know, you hear people talking about, oh, you must be a Mason or Mason this, Mason that. You don't really think about it or take a deep dive.
Well, I'll give credit to Marcus Allen. I'll give credit to Marcus Allen because when I first came on the scene, like a neophyte, one of the first things the guy asked me is, are you a Mason? And I didn't really, outside the Flintstones, know what the hell the Masons are or were or anything.
Right.
So I said, no, I said, I'm not. Why are you asking? He said, it's a dumb question. I'm trying to play Howard Stern here and run a talk show here. But he's asked that to almost everyone he's ever talked to or called into. And he said endlessly that if you're not a Mason, then you're not going to get anywhere in this world. And to me, that was just a ridiculous statement. Now, I don't know if it's as true in Canada as it is in the United States, but yeah, when someone talks Masons, my ears perk up, and I think there's a lot to it.
Yeah, that too would be, you know, when you talk about bloodlines, that Masonry has to be generational, to where if my dad grew up as a Mason, he's going to want me to be a Mason, right? So I think it's fair to say we're both, none of us had parents who were, my dad wouldn't, if you said Mason to my dad, he would think, you know, bricklayer. I mean, you know.
Yes, same with mine. My dad, my parents are completely clueless. They're completely clueless to this day to the power structure. They've been oblivious. I don't know if they've ignored it purposely. I don't know. Maybe it was
probably
never presented
not.
To them. But
I just think this is the point that everything changed for me, honestly. It's when Obama got elected, when he went into office, to me, that was a pivot point in this world, because that's when all of a sudden, all this, you know, fomenting hate started to appear, and the division and everything just started to turn upside down. And so but prior to that, I think we all walked around like the tree was going to grow to the sky. I think, you know, I mean, I certainly, from a business standpoint, that was a tough time for me because I had filed bankruptcy in 2008. And that coincidentally was, you know, when Obama came in. And so that was kind of a lost decade for me from a financial standpoint. But that's when,
right,
when I started to get plugged into this, you know, this other scene, the conspiracy scene, you know. But before that, man, I was thinking about one thing and one thing only, and that was building business and making money, and I was oblivious. I wouldn't have given a shit. Just like I'm sure there are a lot of people now that wouldn't give a shit if you said, hey, man, there are people trying to take over the world. They say, oh, okay, hey, what's the New York Stock Exchange today? You know?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, I didn't really set out to reveal the power structure, but when you look into truth and you keep asking the question, who are they?
Mm-hmm.
And I've asked the same question as you, and I'm glad you ask it every time. I think it's a great signature question, and keep doing it. Because I just take pieces of what everyone says and try and get my own opinion going. And, there's just no way that we're bumping along here. Everything is happening by accident. It just defies logic. Every single thing in our lives has to have some guidance, has to have some structure. And there's always some, we all have a boss and the boss has a boss. There has to be a top. We're not just one massive top layer of millions of management people all working together in harmony going the same way. It's just not logical. So yes, there has to be a top where if it's not a peak, it's a very limited number that have all the marbles, because we're all playing a game and we all know how games work. At the end, someone always wins. So someone has all the marbles once you play it out. So somebody has to have the majority of the marbles, if not all of them. And how did they get there? We all agree to the game the day we're born.
Yeah.
We all sign up. We get our Monopoly card when we're born, and we're off to the races, even if we don't even know we're in the game. So it's a great question. Who are they? And whoever they are leading us this way. This is not by accident. There's just no, like if you told me that I could convince you and everyone else in the world that the common cold would kill you and you have to change everything in your life, I would have told you you're going to fail with that idea immediately.
Right.
But then 9/11 came along. And I thought, if they can fool the whole world forever, including me, and no one is ever going to undo this, unwrap it, and reveal it, then we're screwed, because that just means that everyone can be fooled forever. What a power, the greatest power in the world to discover that.
Yeah.
That if you can propagate an idea that people buy and it becomes a herd-like, mob-like mentality, because that's how we're wired.
Yeah.
Boy, that is so powerful, and that is the greatest power in the world, is getting people to believe.
And, you know, it's...
And you can't break it.
I know that your experience and mind and whatever doesn't go down this path, but I will say that, you know, when I did have my... period of time where I really, when somebody challenged me that, hey, well, why don't you read the Bible as if it's true, and, you know, and actually planted the seed, if God did write a book, you know, don't you think you'd want to read it? So I remember when I approached that Bible study that way, the world started to reconcile to me, and then I went through my little 2016 period where I got a little bit of control alt delete by the history folks challenging me. But I will tell you that in the spirit of who are they, everything that points to, that book points to, reconciles it all. And so I'm not letting go of that. You know, it's, it's kind of a process coming back to it, but the more all of this, what I'm witnessing now that I see, it's almost like I can't reconcile it outside of there being a spiritual war and there being a literal demonic realm, that's battling for our souls, so to speak. And, you know, right now I have a sneaky suspicion they're winning. And I think there are those of us out there who just have a different bullshit detector that you know, and why you have a bullshit detector, Ab, I don't know. Why I do, I don't know. Why John LeBond, why others who are skeptical, you know, why John Jay? But you know, it's those of us who
I don't know about you, but I was born with mine. I questioned my mother the day I could talk, and she's never liked me since.
I love that.
I think I came out of the womb and said, I probably dropped on the floor and I said, why did you do that? What did you just do? What are you doing? You know, and she can tell you, she can bear witness. She says, you've been a pain in the ass since you were born.
I would love to invite the entire Ab family to Uncle Odd's Thanksgiving. That would be so great. You know, we could all
be. Well, well, guess what? There is no Thanksgiving this year. They've broken that bond
they sure
too.
Have.
We're not doing it. I'm doing it with my own family, but my parents are not in that bubble. They don't want to do it.
Crazy.
They're afraid. I said, fine.
Absolutely.
Eat
crazy.
Your turkey yourself.
Absolutely crazy. But, you know.
It's crazy. It's sickening.
It's sickening.
You know, I've even said, I say most of the time, I said, when do you think this is going to end? So I don't know. We're just doing our best. We're trying to stay safe. All our friends are doing the same thing. It's not going to end. Is that going to change anyone's mind? If we know it's not going
to
end.
Anyone listening right now, that's why you need to invest all 2.5 hours in that interview last night. Because John Jay dropped
a big
one telling us exactly who is funding this demonic realm through when?
Yeah.
1231
of
what year, Ab? I know you are paying attention.
2025. Yeah. That's the end of this phase of the project. That's just, they do project management. So we're in phase one of the project. So yeah, that's the budget.
Right.
That's the end. That's the projected end date. But I still think there's tons of variables that can
One of the businesses in our portfolio, one of our 40 companies deals with city and state governments and helping them generate revenue. And we've been excited because we think there's been so much revenue shortfall. But after last night's question or interview, I'm like thinking about that business a little bit differently now, thinking, whoa, maybe they're not going to be so starved. Because maybe all they have to do is acquiesce to get access to that budget. You know? It's just
bidding. When he was mentioning the numbers and the corporations that are just printing or creating fiat currency, when he said, I think he said 30 trillion, I thought, my God. There's the magic wand right there. 30 trillion. These are numbers nobody can even imagine. We
can't visualize it.
There's their weapon. It's insane.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. I don't know what that's going to do to the tiny bit of money I have in the bank. If they're unleashing that kind of fury, that means I have is worth not even pennies.
Well, he made me stop last night and think about it. I don't know if I shared this with you at all, but I had, when I started my career with R.R. Donnelly out of Chicago, that was back in the time when you knew that if you got on with the right company, you could be their cradle to grave, that you could retire at that same company.
Yeah.
And so I got,
with
I
the
was
pension.
Hired. There you go with the pension. So I worked there for the first, 20 years of my life. Now, my pension grew and grew and grew, and I was like, awesome, man. I have, as of a year ago, I knew in there that I had about $275,000 in that pension. And I was like, whoa, this is awesome. It just takes a little bit of stress off of thinking about retirement stuff. Well, then, lo and behold, November of last year, I got notice that that fucking fund went bankrupt.
Money's gone.
Bankrupt. It's gone. So I'm sitting there.
Poof.
It was gone. So then all of a sudden, literally like 2.5 months ago, I open up this LLC document, which I knew was associated to them, and I was informed that there was part of that that was protected. And I was like, whoa, call this 800 number. So I called the 800 number. Long story tolerable, I recently got a check that was like, it's a one-time payout of like $125,000. And I'm like, and with my wife and me, we're putting every penny of that against our mortgage. That'll get our mortgage under $100,000. We can pay that off. And soon. And so after last night though, I'm thinking he just kind of destroyed. I was really feeling, that was just like such an achievement thinking, hey, this money I didn't think I had. So me applying it to the mortgage, getting that down under $100,000, that, to me that's just an achievement. It's like, way back when.
I would recommend. I would totally recommend that, but I'm not a financial advisor. That's not what I would have done with it, but that's okay.
Well, no, but I haven't paid it yet. It's still in my account. That's why after the conversation last night, I sent John another email this morning saying, look, I want to have a different kind of conversation about your Ace of Coins side of the business.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a better way if, because he was saying that real estate's a horrible investment. So I don't know. Anyway,
listen, everyone has opinion. I don't know if I agree with that. I have my own ideas about investing. We can talk on that as well, privately or publicly.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter. I think it's just like eating. You got to diversify your diet, your portfolio. Don't ever put your eggs in one basket, because if someone grabs the basket, then you're empty. So
isn't that the crazy thing? It's like literally in my mind, I was like, okay, that's 275. I always knew that that was accumulating over the years, right? So I think it got to 279. And then poof, you're informed that they filed Chapter 11, or was it 11 or something?
Yeah, and then the creditors go after whatever assets there are. A pension is an asset.
Yeah.
But usually pensioners are near the beginning of the line when it comes to recovering money.
I think that's why they were able to claw back a bit of it. But
you are probably only able to get what you contributed, but the company contribution probably was evaporated because it was just a number anyway. It was just a promise to pay. That's all it ever is. But with any pension, corporate pension, it's only as good as long as the company or whoever takes over the company or assumes its corporate structure is still operational. But if they dissolve the company, then their contribution is, again, just on paper. It's gone. So maybe there are probably just federal laws that protect your contribution.
Yeah, what we put
whatever,
in, maybe they had that bonded or something.
And whatever minuscule interest rate they apply over the years to it, if any. Maybe you don't get any interest. I don't know.
Well,
once
I emotionally went through the madness of I can't believe my pension's lost to it appearing again, that became found money. So I'm just happy. I'm grateful regardless. It wasn't as much as it should have been, but it wasn't all gone. So, hey, I'm going to be on with Airborne Saint in an hour, and I still haven't showered.
All right.
So I'm going to run.
All right.
All right.
Good
brother.
Call.
Great
eat your fruit.
To you
eat your, that was a great call. It's on FacoTube. The, your video. It's so much gold in that. Just be very wary of, your YouTube channel because you're skating on some thin ice with your information. It's hot stuff. And even though you're 600 something subscribers, you're still going to be on the radar real soon. So
get your
backup channels going. Get them going. Get your Restreamio going. You don't want to lose your 600 subscribers, and that's what happens when you lose your channel. That's the most valuable thing.
Hey, one thing I can do is you have the fake11.com/UncleLod, right?
Yes.
So
that points to whatever YouTube channel.
Okay, but can it also be a place to where we could just put, you know, like one paragraph that says, here's where Todd is, just in case it does go down. I could promote that each time in the video and just say, hey, if you can't find me, I promise you'll be able to find me at fake11.com/UncleLod. And at least we'll be able to direct you to the new channel or the backup channel.
Well,
whatever.
Right now, it can point to wherever you want. I just have it pointing to your current YouTube channel.
Sure,
but if your YouTube channel changed tomorrow, then they could still go there, and it'll be whatever you changed it to. If people want to be, you know, since we're not married, but we're working together, so if they want to email me, and I'm at fakeologist.com. I have my own mailing list, which is just access to my website comment system. If you want to email me, I'll put you on the mailing list. I don't use it to spam. I just use it to send out show notices. Then that's valuable as well. So you know, you can keep your own mailing list, but in the meantime,
help me create, send me an email. Can you help me create a mail? You know, Everett, like John LaBotte, everybody's like, hey, get on the mailing list because then I can speak. How do I create a mailing list? You know, I'm so new at all this shit.
Well, there's so many different ways. The easiest way and the freest way is to literally just create a mailing list on a mail server. So I think you and everyone listening should have their own mail server. You should never use anyone else's server. I don't care who they are, Proton Mail, Gmail. You should have your own server. So what you do is you register a domain, and you should do this too because you're getting away from me as a pod child. You're getting big. So you need to pick a name, whatever is fairly memorable, UncleLod.com or whatever you want. And once you have your domain, you can do a million different things, a million different directions.
Got it.
You can have a million different. So one of the easiest things would be get your domain. I'll help you set it up. And you can create a mailing list at Uncle Odd. And what happens is people can join the list. They can broadcast to the list. Or you can limit their broadcasting abilities. Or you can just be the broadcaster. That is a fantastic way. Now, if you don't want to do that, there's also something maybe easier and more modern, because the mailing list goes back 30 years. I think Telegram is very powerful. Telegram is a more advanced version of WhatsApp. It's run by Russians, we are told. And you can create a group over there. People don't have to give up their phone number like they do on WhatsApp. So if they want to keep that private, they could. But, again, they will be on a indestructible list because Telegram doesn't take down groups, which is what they have. But you could create an Uncle Odd Telegram group, super easy because you're on Telegram, and just broadcast to that. That's handy and dandy because you can get Telegram for your desktop and you can get it for your phone. And since most people are on their phones, then they can easily see what you're doing on Telegram. And
great suggestion.
That would be That would be your instant solution. So just say,
okay.
Listen, I'm at t.me/UncleAud. That's where I am. I'll put all my videos there. You'll get notifications. It's on your phone. It's super easy. I don't get your phone number. I don't get anything from you. I don't even get your email address. You are just listening to me. So that you
right.
should, that I would advise on Telegram. So get that going
okay.
and promote it.
Okay. Cool. All right, Ab, thank you for the call. Thank
all
you for
right.
the feedback. Appreciate your encouragement as always.
Yes.
And we'll talk
that
to you later.
Great. Oh yeah, we have a show tonight.
Yes, we do. I hope John LeBon, if you're listening, you know, we 8 p.m. Eastern time, we can't wait to chat. Cheers.
Yeah, and we
please hold while I try to locate the person you're calling.
Kenny.
Yeah.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm good, man. Are you busy?
Yes, I'm going to have to make one phone call in about 1 minute, but I can definitely, I got lots of time to chat.
Well, I'll call you back after you get done, about an hour or so, maybe?
No. We'll talk now. I'm just saying I got to make a quick call in a minute, but let's talk. How you doing?
Well, everything's fine. I just I never get to talk to you straight up because we're always, you know, dominated on that site, you know. And,
well, it's one of the problems with conference calls. There's always a couple people, including myself, that like to dominate, and the quieter people tend to get shut down. So, I agree 100%. So I'll try and stay quiet because I know you're quieter than me.
Oh, no. Not, you know what? I just feel like, that I never get to really connect the way I want to. Now, we have a few times, but Mike is always thinking about recording and posting, and so he wants to get in and do his speech, you know?
Yes. Do you mind if I record this call?
Oh, well, it's okay with me, but I mean, I'm not going to say anything about him. Have you started recording yet?
Yeah, I can cut that out. You want to get all the mic stuff off your chest? I'll cut that out.
No. You know, I love Mike to death, but you know, he's
okay,
kinda,
then.
He kind of whips the same dog all the time, and
Oh yeah. It's a little boring. It's a little boring, and I agree. I like Mike too. He's such a sincere guy. But yeah, that's why if I go, I don't mind listening in on the calls, but I just use it as background noise when he's talking usually at this point.
Yeah, okay. Well, look, I just wanted to let you know that today on InfoWars, they had a headline that says that Trump is going to seek out a real test. Have you seen that yet?
No. I'm not a big InfoWars guy. Now, I'm not saying that Alex Jones is disinfo, because a lot of these guys have kind of turned around a little bit more to the truth.
Yeah.
But I there's so many sources now, Kenny. It's impossible to keep on top. So yeah, I don't mind if you're the InfoWars guy, I'll listen to what you have to say. You'll be my filter.
Yeah, no, look, I've always that way about anybody. I don't necessarily believe 100% of much. You know,
yeah.
But, he gets open lines on there and people call in. And so, me and Brian talked a little while ago, and he doesn't have anybody in his group, in his family, or in his circle of friends that has contracted this thing. And I don't either. And so me and him kind of have that in common. We don't. And then you run into other people too that don't have anybody in their circle of friends that have contracted. And so, if it's that way amongst that many people that I know, then I would think that if you went out into the America and went around, you would probably find a heck of a lot more that just don't have any kind of evidence that the thing exists in the first place, you know?
Well, that's true. But what did InfoWars have to say about it? What's their take?
Well, I look, on Saturdays they don't. He comes on at 4 o'clock on Sunday, and that's this tonight at 4 or today at 4 he'll be on, and so I'll listen then. But you know, Trump, you know, if he's for real and this is a power play, then he's gonna seek out this real test. And so I called Brian when I saw that this morning, and I think that if he gets some kind of a test, or maybe they actually draw blood and try to actually isolate this virus, if they're saying he's got it. And then, so I'm wondering what that test is going to be. Is it going to be this electron microscope thing, or is there something else that we don't know about, you know?
Well, Brian, what did Brian say?
Nothing. He always answers
Is Brian just a listener? Is that what you're saying?
No, I mean, he's the one that started on the big virus hoax. And so, you know, he's the gentle giant. I call him the gentle giant, you know.
It's always the quiet ones you have to worry about.
Yeah, I think so. But, man, I'm so glad I got to talk to you straight up.
Have you ever heard of the saying, it's better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubts?
Oh, yeah.
You ever heard that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's one of my favorites. So, yeah, Brian, it's the quiet ones you got to worry about because you don't know what the hell's going through their mind.
Yeah, I know. But anyway, so are you driving now or?
Yeah, I'm driving right now.
I'm
one of those workaholics, but not necessarily by design either. When they collapse the money system, I'll just stay home. Anyhow, and keep whatever I got at, I guess, the end of a shotgun, but not that I have one for anyone listening. But, I just finished listening to Uncle Odd, my partner in crime, who has just taken off. His YouTube channel is going ballistic, and we just had an insanely great guest. Well, he did. I wasn't on the show because I had to go to bed. He had an insanely great guest last night called John Singleton. You have to watch it. It's 2.5 hours. It's gold nuggets. There's so much stuff I learned from this guy. Instead of investing your time with InfoWars and this soap opera called Trump, because I think it's just a soap opera, and you can get really involved in it. I know I like Trump too, but I don't trust them as far as I could throw them, because you don't get there without being on the inside or being compromised, or he's an actor, let's be honest. So go look up on FakoTube.
Okay.
And you got to put that in your list of things to listen to. If you can do that today, I guarantee you'll benefit from it. And you got to listen right to the end, because a lot of the good stuff's at the end.
Okay. FakoTube.
FakoTube is my site, because I don't think it's going to last on YouTube. This is one great video that's got tons of info.
Okay.
And just let me make my call right now, and then we can have a chat. Stay on the line. The line should go dead for a minute, so stay on.
Okay. All right. And I'll go to FakoTube.
Kenny, you there?
Yes, sir.
Could you hear me speaking, or what could you hear on the line?
Nothing.
Okay. I never know how this phone acts. Okay, that's cool.
I found the spot, FakoTube. I linked off of your Fakeologist.
Good.
And I see John, Jason, Uncle Todd versus Sprouts Farmers Market.
Yeah, that's the least of the whole thing. I'm not sure why he put that title on there, but that's only a small part. It started off with Uncle Odd confronting the people of Sprouts, which he's like Mike. He doesn't mind doing that. He's got big balls. Shout out to Mike.
Yes, sir.
Hold on a sec.
You still there?
Yes, yeah, I'm here.
Come here, Kenny?
Yeah.
Hold on a sec.
Okay.
Are you there, Kenny?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Somebody cut in on the line there. Okay, so that's it's got some real gems. Hey, do you guys got any Masons in your area? Are you are you aware of the Masonic? What's your take on the Masons and the Masonic structure? Do you think they have any power?
Well, yeah, at the top, you know, the day that I take on that is that they come off as do-gooders, but when you get to the very top and then jump over to the Illuminati levels, then that's when they pull the mean stuff out, you know.
Who is this guy? John Singleton was saying the most powerful the most powerful person in every state is not the governor. Do you know who he says is the most powerful person in every state?
I'll have to watch it. I don't know.
The most powerful person in every state is the Grand Master of the Masonic Order in your state. So if you go to, I hate to say go to Google, but where else are you going to go, I guess? Go type in the Grand Master of Louisiana and see who you come up with.
Okay.
See if you know the name. Maybe you know the name. I don't know. Maybe the guy's famous in Louisiana.
I would think that that would be in New Orleans. I don't. Baton Rouge is the state capital, but.
Oh, is it? I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
You live in the capital.
Yeah, we're in the state capital. That's where they built the Huey Long. Huey Long built the big state capital a long time ago. It sticks up like a big thumb, you know.
Is it a capital building like in Rome?
It's just a tall structure. It was built, I guess, in the 30s. I'm not sure.
But is it a capital building as in
yeah.
the capital? It is a capital. No, I'm saying is it a capital? Is it a dome with a spire on top? With a
no, not
symbol?
Really. Not really, no.
Don't make me look it up now.
No, it's not a dome. It's not
Capitol Building, Louisiana. Let's see what it looks like.
It's the shape of a penis. It's got the ball sack.
I knew
it.
Oh, yeah. That's, okay. Yeah.
That's like Coit Tower in Cisco. It's just a big with two balls, you know.
Okay. Yeah, I see that. Yeah, that's what it is. Why else would you build a building that looks like that, really?
Yeah, that's definitely it. And you know, when I read The Biggest Secret back in 99, you know, all that stuff is, he covers just about everything in that book.
450 feet tall, 4 + 5 = 9, so there's your 9. 34 stories, there's your 7. And it's the 7th tallest building in Louisiana. What are the top 6 tallest buildings in Louisiana? They must all be in New Orleans.
Or Shreveport.
Right. Huey Long's Monument. It should say Huey Long's member.
yeah, I can see that for sure.
Huey Long, great name, eh, for your member?
Huey Long, I know.
My long member, my monument. Stay away from my monument.
So that's your personal phone number, man, giving that to me like that.
No, it's not my, I'd give you my personal number. This is my site number. I've got, anyone can call me at any time. I might not answer the phone, but anybody can call me because I'm usually on the go, so the audio is not the best. But yeah, this is my satanic George Orwell number. Pretty easy to remember, eh?
1984, yeah.
Yeah, but look at the other number, 666.
Oh, yeah.
Nice, huh?
Yeah, I didn't pay much attention to it.
Yeah, but, 810. 810 is the only part that's not really fun. You can't really make anything of 810, yeah. No, anybody can call this number.
Okay.
And if I don't answer, they leave a message, or all calls are automatically recorded by the network, so I reserve the right to use them for my audio, because I don't really, like, say anything personal. It's all conspiracy related, so I think it's worth broadcasting. And if it isn't, well, too bad.
Well, I was noticing that when Mike starts his religious stuff, me and you kind of seem to be in the same position. I when I read The Biggest Secret a long time ago, they talked about the evidence that there was a Jesus in Israel at that time in history, and there's really no evidence there was a guy that by that name back then. And
have you heard of Joseph Atwell on that topic before you?
No, but I'm gonna have to start writing some of these things down because you've been saying some names, dropping names, and I'm not writing.
I'm dropping names. Don't worry, this will be recorded, so you can go back. But there's a guy named Joseph Atwell who thinks that he does some good podcasts. He thinks that Caesar made up the whole Jesus idea, so it was a psyop.
Yeah, I can see that. And also,
But you know why he did it?
No, but these guys planned far ahead, you know.
It was basically because Caesar, Pontificus Maximus, they considered themselves gods. And when the people stopped believing them as being gods, I guess they had to do a lot of godlike functions for anyone to believe them. When people stopped believing them, then they had to invent somebody else to believe in. So that's just give me one more sec here. Just one more call. Hold on. One more.
You there?
Yes.
Danny?
Yeah. Got me?
All right. I just got my email today from an anonymous person who says, well, I know you visit pretty regularly 18-plus content. Your smartphone's infected. Just send me $500 and I'll take care of everything. Wow. Three guys in 1 hour know that I look at 18-plus, but they don't say what website it was. The least they could do is give me a website to go check out.
Yeah.
$500, that's cheap, eh? It says my phone is infected. Is that why you call? Because my phone's infected?
No.
I'll call Bill Gates. Won't he fix that? Bill Gates will
fix
that.
No, but I mean, you think about and all the billions of people they have. I mean, I'm sure they got one guy for all of us.
Yeah.
Anyway, go ahead. I was gonna say when I read The Biggest Secret by David Icke in 99, there was a book in there that he referenced called The Book Your Church Does Not Want You to Read. Have you ever heard of it?
All right. No. David wrote that or someone else did?
No, he referenced the book. And so I ordered the book. I ordered the book at Barnes & Noble and I read the book.
What's it say?
There's a lot of stuff in there about, you know, have you ever read any of the King James Version?
No, I'm the worst reader in the world. Nobody has read fewer books than me.
Oh, no.
I only read cereal boxes, and even that I stopped because I make my own cereal now.
Man, look, I used to read so much in the 90s. That's all I did was study conspiracy theory.
Well, then you're probably smarter than me.
No, I wouldn't say that. You seem to have a good background, but I just load the information and then later on when things pop up, it comes into my mind. You know, I didn't try to memorize anything. I just read the as much as I could. But anyway, they talk about the Song of Solomon, and so if you get a King James Bible and read the Song of Solomon, it should have never been put in that book. It's absolutely perverted. And I don't understand why they put it in there. And anytime a Christian starts their spiel about being saved, and I always think about that, but I tend to bite my tongue because, you alienate people that way pretty quick. And then they look at you as evil because you would challenge that. And, I've always been logical about everything, but if you get a King James Bible and just get the Song of Solomon and read that, then you'll understand what I'm talking about. There's some absolutely horrible, stuff in there about the guy touches the female and she craps herself and then the poor little sister, she'll never get married because her boobs aren't big enough. It's just stuff that.
Are we sure that's from back in the day, or did someone whip that up in the last few hundred years?
Well, hey, look, anything goes. You know how that is.
Yeah.
But as far as it being inerrant, and they always talk about it, and there's some science in the book that's incorrect. And so if God was writing, that wouldn't be in there. And so you know good and well that it's all written in, for some kind of function, you know, to control or whatever. You know, and I would love to talk about stuff like that on the Zoom that we do, but I can't get that. I'll never be able to get that in edgewise, not with Mike running everything, you know.
Well, I'm not a Bible guy, so you've lost me. I know Solomon, I remember that name, but you could talk to me unchallenged, because I don't have anything to challenge you with on that. So
I'm not challenging. I just these are things that I wanted to talk about, but didn't get
to. Yeah, that's fine.
You know? Yeah, and so.
Which is that conspiracy related though?
Well, you know, I'm not so sure about that, but I mean, I guess if you want to talk about it, then absolutely the Bible is going to be in the top five. No doubt about it. And
okay.
So, I always have to bite my tongue because, you know, I'm down here in Louisiana. This is the Bible Belt, they call it.
Yeah.
And so.
You got that right.
If you challenge anybody and their religion, the denial factor is so that you'll forever be, you know, a horned demon to them, you know. And so I always just walk away from, you know, and then Mike, you know, he witnesses because the book tells you he gets points for that.
Mike is a Bible believer, I think, isn't he?
Yeah, but I mean, you know, if anybody,
Thank you. If
anybody would read
that
and follow the thoughts in there, you know, they talk about slavery in there and how to treat your slaves and not even a mention of the fact that it would be wrong to own another human being, you know?
What about rent one?
Yeah. No, but I mean,
I've always been a lease to own kind of guy.
I haven't had such a bad life, you know, in America, you know. It was pretty much, you know, like you would think.
Well,
I don't know how your youth was.
Why are you speaking in past tense? Is it over?
Well, I hope not. I really hope it's seeming that way. I mean, they're smashing up our cities everywhere, and nobody's doing anything about it.
Yeah, I know.
And so...
One of the things, I'll ask you this. How many people live in Baton Rouge? How far do you have to go before you're in... rural Louisiana? How far outside do you have to drive? How far do you have to go?
Probably 10 minutes.
10 minutes, yeah.
Yeah.
When you listen to this fantastic audio video by Uncle Odd with John Singleton, this guy was saying that he's getting reports that there are large areas, rural areas in the United States that are being taken over. So to get into some of these rural areas, maybe there's only a few roads in and a few roads out, but they're all sort of have checkpoint Charlies on them. And he didn't say who's taking them over, but he just was giving that story. Have you heard of anything like that?
Well, no, but when the COVID came out, there was the rain in the Midwest that were killing their stock. Because they said the stock was positive, and so...
Well, I think it's more that they couldn't sell it because all the slaughterhouses were shut down, so...
Well, and it's...
Doesn't that make more sense?
No, but I think they're crippling supply on purpose, and that was the whole point, and, you know...
Yes, I agree
with that.
It
doesn't take much of a brain to figure it out if you're killing the food that they're doing it on purpose, you know? So,
yeah, I agree with that. But everything they do could be in the name of COVID, isn't it?
Well, yeah, and if I get a steak and I cook the damn thing, I mean, how is it gonna make it through that? I'd like to know. You know,
what is
the logic behind killing a cow because it tests positive for COVID?
There's no logic to COVID, period. So COVID and logic never should appear in the same sentence.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. And so, anyway, I told Mike and Brian that Trump was in on it from day one. And so they didn't kick me out or anything, but I always told them that if he sits on the Council of Foreign Relations, then they get together and plan things, and it doesn't matter what their their Republican, Democrat, or any of that is.
Oh, yeah. That's got nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just a divide and rule.
Yeah.
That's just divise et impere. Divide and rule. That's Latin. Yeah, yeah. It's better to keep, you got to keep the people divided by at least half. That's the minimum division. The more divisions, the merrier.
Yeah. Well, and so anyway, all that came out of by David Icke. I read that book before 9/11, and he predicted 9/11 in the book. And you can go get an old copy of it, and you can verify.
What did he
say? That they were going to create a war with Islam.
Okay,
and,
well, that's true.
And they did, and it was.
But well, how did he predict 9/11?
He didn't predict it exactly,
specifically.
But he knew that they were going to drag Islam into some kind of a deal, and he got it dead on. He was dead right on. And I mean, I'm not so sure about Ike either.
Well, it's a pretty broad statement, though, isn't it?
Well,
pretty broad.
Yeah, but it's not like we weren't already at war with them.
Well, America's been at war since the day it was born. I don't think you've had 1 year
well,
off.
Well, Israel has always been at odds because they fight over the Temple Mount and the Dome of the Rock is where Solomon's Temple supposedly stood. And they want to tear it down and they want to rebuild Solomon's Temple on that spot.
Yes, that's what I understand too. I agree with that.
Yeah.
I agree
and
with
so,
that. Yeah. And Zionists are the ones that want to see that happen because they think when that happens, the Christ will return.
Well, not Christ, the Messiah.
Oh, okay. That's not Christ?
Yeah, they go by different names.
Oh, okay.
The Eastern religions call it Maitreya. Have you heard Maitreya?
No, that sounds like mother, though, in Latin. Matra is mother
in
Latin.
Yeah, Maitreya
is that what that is?
Turn, and the Christians will call him the Antichrist. And then all of the Jews and the Zionist people that you're talking about will call him the Messiah. You know, when Christ, they never accepted as the one. And so anyway, it's a mess the way they've got it out. Everybody over here.
No wonder there's a whole study in theology. You could spend your whole life with all these stories.
Yeah. Have you ever heard of dispensation?
Yes, and as a matter of fact, I interviewed one of my favorite radio voices, a guy named Walt Stickle, and there's two guys. I just remember the name Walt Stickle, but that wasn't the guy with the great voice. It was the other guy, and these guys were talking about that, and I always forget exactly what it means. Something like half the people believe Christ already came back. And the other half believe he's still on the way.
Well, it's relative to Revelation, the end, and they have what they call pre-mill dispensation, which claims that everything in there took place in the time of Nero. And then a-mill dispensation is the, I think, I mean, don't hold me to it, but you can verify it on your own if you. But, you know, the chip and the mark of the beast, buying and selling and all that's going to happen later. I think that's a mill dispensation. But anyway, I just wondered if you knew about that.
Well, if you go in my audio archives, I welcome you to go back into my archives. Almost nobody does. If you go to fakeologist.com/radio, there's a link there for archives.
Okay.
And you could go back a lot of years and find the show with Walt Stickle.
How do you spell that?
I'm pretty sure they're talking. Well, just Walt like Walt Disney. That's all you should type in. Just type Walt. See if you can find it now. That would be interesting if you could find it.
Well, let's see.
W-A-L-T.
I can go back right now if you've got a minute. And look. All right,
go
let's
for
see.
It.
Where is the archive? Is that at the top of the page or at the end of the page?
Well, you know what? The easiest thing to do, just go to fakeologist.com/blog, and on the right, there's a search button. On the right, you should see the word search.
Yeah, I see it.
Just type in Walt, W-A-L-T, see what comes up.
Walt.
Oh, well, hopefully not Walt
No,
Disney.
But I got it.
Now that I think
it.
About it, probably a lot of Walt Disney
all
on
right,
there.
Hold on. It's giving me Chris and Walt Stickle.
That's it. Click on that link, and that...
They talk
flat
Earth.
What a good search. No, no, keep... No, just click on the link.
Okay, but here's another one. Walt Club 33, Walt Stickle and Tom Fries on Jesuitism.
That's it. That
okay.
might be it. Yeah, it was Walt Stickle and Tom
Fries.
F-R-I-E-S-S. Fries. Yeah, that might be the guy. He's got a great radio voice. I love listening
okay.
to that guy.
All right.
Click on it and just, yeah, that'll be, what episode is that?
See, it says, content, I'm not seeing, oh, episode 84.
I knew there was a 4 in there. I was going to say 34. Okay, well, try
okay.
that one. That might be what it's
okay,
about.
Okay, you talked about dispensation.
I don't know why, yeah.
Okay.
I think so.
Well, that's cool. I mean, I just didn't know if you had known about it. You know, I don't bring up stuff like that with the guys
well,
because they're just focusing on the hoax, and they don't get sidetracked much. Me
well,
and Brian
fine.
Do.
I can talk about
me
anything.
Me and Brian, we went into David Icke the other night after Mike left, and I told him about
yeah.
Icke's book and all of the stuff that's in that, and they give you the first 3 chapters on Amazon. So if you go to the biggest secret,
yep.
you can read the first 3 chapters, and they talk about the Anunnaki and Planet X, a couple of other things.
Oh, yeah. That's a little woo-woo
yeah,
for me.
Yeah, that's cool. But, you know.
Woo-woo. Is that a scientific term?
No,
woo-woo?
But I think I can figure it out.
yeah,
I
too
call
much.
It fluff.
Too much.
Fluff,
yeah. Yeah, I got
anyway,
it.
Anyway, well.
Enough of the fluff. Let's get on with
yeah,
the stuff.
Yeah, right. There's a lot of that out there. In fact, they've overloaded us all pretty much with so much crap.
Oh,
we can't
yeah.
figure nothing out, man. And you try to educate people.
Well, no, that's not true. That's not true. I think we're doing a great job figuring it out. Hey, look up the Grand Master of Louisiana.
Okay.
Tell me
who
that is.
Doing that?
Yeah, because John Singleton says he's running
okay.
your state.
Well, let me see something here. I guess I would just go.
I want to put these ideas in your head because maybe you can help figure out who's running things because it ain't the governor.
Yeah, well, he's about to lose it over here. The legislature in Louisiana just passed stuff on him saying
yeah.
everything that he's...
What happened to Bobby Jindal? I remember he was an Indian guy that was in charge of Louisiana. I thought that was quite the strange person.
You know
Louisiana.
What? I have no idea where he... Oh,
you remember
course.
Him? He's obviously gone.
Yeah, and nobody hears from him. He's one of the quiet ones. He left, and that was the end of it. We
wonder if he was real.
Oh, man. You know, when I read that Biggest Secret a long time ago, it doesn't matter who they are. You don't know what they're doing behind the scenes, whether they put on the little apron and all that.
No.
Grand Lodge, State of
right.
Louisiana, Grandmaster, images of Grandmaster of Louisiana. Well, he looks like just a regular bloke.
Yeah, they always do. Who is he, though?
You know, let's see. Deputy Grandmaster, Phase 3 Guidelines for Louisiana Lodge Directive. Read more. Marco, let's see. Grandmaster. Wait. I'm not sure. Let's see. R.W.J. McCollum, Grand Senior
yeah.
Warden.
Do you know him?
Message from the Grand Senior Warden. I'm not sure he's the Grandmaster yet, though.
No, you need the Grandmaster. Are you looking on the images tab or just the regular link tab?
No, this
Google?
Is the Grand Lodge of the state of Louisiana. And in his pictures first.
Yeah, well, the Grand Master is on the top
yeah.
of the page. Oh, he's
yeah,
first?
Yeah, he's got the big message from the Grand Senior
oh, okay.
Warden. His name is J. McCollum.
So maybe he is the Grand Master then. Now, the one thing that John Singleton said is, all the states are grouped into
uh-huh.
areas, so you got to find out who. You got to find out what group that the Grand Lodge of Louisiana is part of. I'm guessing it's the Southern group, but they have a group and they have their own lieutenancy.
Uh-huh.
So it's organized like the military. So you're going to be part of a group of 6 or so
okay.
states, and those states make decisions together. Yeah, I'm not sure how you figure that out. Just look up what Freemason Lieutenancy is Louisiana in or something like that. And then you're going to get another web page
yeah.
with another level of hierarchy.
Yeah.
See, this is your shadow government. This is your deep state.
Yeah. Well, maybe they'll let me
their deep state is hiding in plan is hiding in plain sight.
Maybe they'll let me go through because I am a white guy and I am descended from England, and my last name is Harrington, so we came from.
You like herring, the fish? You like pickled herring?
No, no, I'm not much of a fish guy. It doesn't digest good for me, but anyway.
Yeah.
Oh no, yeah. I seafood is one of the big no nos in veggie diets. It's
you got a veggie diet going too? Good for you.
No, no, I'm not 100% veggie. I'm about 70%.
Yeah. So the 30% is your steak?
Yeah, and that's red meat, and I can't eat chicken. I get reactions. It makes me see spots in my eyes.
Chemical steroids.
Yeah, it's the hormones and the antibiotics.
Why can't you eat a wild chicken?
I probably could, and I've had some chicken that didn't do it, but the problem is I can't find out without biting it, and so I'm just not willing to test it, you know?
I got it.
Oh, I'm sure I could eat some. It would be just fine. But, you know, if you go to Walmart and get a chicken from Walmart, you know it's crap as it can be. So.
Oh, yeah.
Some of it's bad even before you get it out of the box.
I'm sure.
My brother, he used to call me a nut because I would tell him about chicken and the antibiotics. And anyway, he worked for OSHA for a while, and one of his duties was to go to a chicken farm, and he saw them putting a needle into the egg before they even hatched the egg.
I've heard of that. Yeah, Marcus Allen, who I like a lot, he talks about that. They inoculated eggs, so they give a vaccine to an egg.
Yeah. Anyway, well, I may call you back. I don't long, but I definitely appreciate being able to talk to you outside of the circle. You've got my number now on there.
You can stay on for another 20 minutes if you want.
Well, I kind of need to get to the bathroom. I'm starting.
All right, go. You can call me back after if you want. I'll keep talking. I'm just cruising around here. I got time to kill, but in 20 minutes I'll be tied up again. So it's up to you.
Okay, I think I'll just wait and catch up with you later on, maybe in another day or
all right. Well, nice chatting with you. The only thing I don't like about going on the Zoom call is I can't get anything done when I'm talking to you guys. So that's why I can't come on every night, because I have a lot of work to do in the evening, and you guys are just. But if I'm going on a walk, I don't mind putting you on, because then I wouldn't be able to do anything anyway. So I know you're there every night, huh?
Yeah, but I mean, I don't. I think I'm going to start trimming back a little. I kind of got in a habit of going on there, and so.
Well, it would be good to get other voices too. Other voices could come on.
Well,
I love new voices too.
No, but I mean, I enjoyed meeting you, and of course, there's other people that come on there that are great to talk to. But
Well, you can come on my server. You're not done in your own paddocks there. If you want, you can. We have a Discord server. I'm pretty sure if you can install Zoom, you can install Discord and come onto the Fakeologist Discord server. And you can read all this stuff and chat. And we have an audio chat where people like yourself or anyone random can, as long as we know who you are, not an interloper or a disruptor. We know who you are.
Okay.
So install. Install from my main site, fake11.com/Discord. Go for it, but you better go to the washroom.
yeah, but before we go, I just want to say I'm kind of new test is going to be, and if he disproves that he's got the virus by this other test, then the PCR test will be exposed via the president, and I'm hoping that's what happens.
Yeah, but the problem is, we all have the virus. We all have 18 versions, allegedly, which is a very funny number, by the way, of the coronavirus. So the only time it really gets measurable is when we're ill. And you want a virus to help prepare your body. So they've inverted that idea that a virus is hurting you when, in fact, it's helping you. So the idea that you have a virus and it's hurting you is upside down.
Yeah. Okay.
So who cares if we have a virus? That means we have an immune system at work. So the aversion is the problem. So if we didn't have viruses and bacteria and fungi and parasites, we'd probably be dead.
Yeah. Well, you know, Alex was talking about this Gates vaccine, and they tested it on some animals, and then when they were exposed, it didn't work. It killed them.
Well, I don't see how any virus vaccine can help. And if you go back in the history of vaccines and how they came about, it's complete witchcraft. That's what it is. We base our medicine on witchcraft. I'd rather drink a potion out of a witch's cauldron with bat legs and tea leaves or whatever those witches' recipes are, you know, the ones they incant as they're walking around the cauldron. So it makes about as much sense.
Yeah.
Which is
well, look, I'm gonna take this number program name.
Yeah. All right.
And I'll try to catch back up with you.
Yeah, call me any time of the day. At night I sleep. But 810-666-1984.
I won't call you during the night. But anyway.
Yeah. It's okay.
When I get some info that I think might be relative or help, then I'll give you a
call. Oh yeah. Well, there's so much out there. Yeah, any reconnaissance from Baton Rouge, get us some on-the-ground thing. Because, like I said, COVID is meant to destroy the United States more than any other country.
Okay. I believe it.
Which I would be sad about.
Okay, man. Well, have a good day.
Right.
And
take care.
I'll catch up with you soon. Okay, bud. Thank you.
All right, bud. Bye-bye, okay. Brother. Bye.
That's all, folks.